Have you ever been so done in? Have you ever become so angry, so frustrated, and you didn't know exactly where to put the finger on the cause of that frustration, but you knew that if there was a God in heaven, that God should not have allowed this? And so in your frustration, in your anger, you turn and you say, God, that is unfair. You are unfair, God. And what does God do? Does he squish you like a bug because you said that he's unfair? Maybe he is unfair. Is he? Can you be sure without a shadow of a doubt that God will never be unfair, that he will be absolutely fair right to the minutest detail? You can be sure, my friend, and we're going to see that as we look at God's Word. Question. Do you like to curl up with a good book? I do. And you know what? I've got the best of all the books in the world. I've got the Bible. And we're curled up today with the Bible. And I want to make sure that you have your Bible. And if you don't have your Bible, that you have the booklet that you've sent for on the book of Romans. And I want you to know it's not too late. You just pick up that phone, you call our 800 number, it'll come up on the screen at the break, and you call that 800 number and you say, hey, I want that book on Romans, and I want those pencils that she's talking about to color those pages with. I'm going to color code, like she says, even though it seems a little childish to me. I want you to know that color coding your Bible is not childish. If you know anything about electronics, you know that electronics are color coded. They have blue plugs and red plugs and yellow plugs, and they go in the red hole, the yellow hole, the blue hole. It's color coded. And it's color coded so you know where the right thing goes. And that's what we're going to do today. We're looking at God. Is he fair? Is God fair? Well, it's a good question to ask, because you know what? You're going to stand before him. I'm going to stand before him. Whether you believe in Jesus Christ or you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to stand before him. Now, Romans, later on in Romans chapter 14, it says that Christians are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ to give an answer for the deeds done in our body. But it also says that in the book of Revelation, that the lost people are going to stand before God, and they're going to give an answer also for their deeds. They're going to be judged according to their deeds, and they're going to be cast into the lake of fire where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. And according to the light that they have will be, the awfulness of their judgment, it will all be awful for everyone. But the degree of that punishment will be determined by their deeds. It will be determined by the light that they had, the light that they refused to believe. Now, in Romans chapter 2, I want you to look at verse 12, and I want to read verse 12 to you, but I want to read verse 11 first. But when we get to verse 12, we're going to pick up some words that haven't been used in Romans up to this point, and we're going to mark those. So I'm going to go a little slow so that you and I get it. It says in verse 11, for there is no partiality with God. Is God fair? Yes, he's fair. How fair is he? How just is he? Well, he goes on to say, for all. There is no partiality with God, and he's going to show you how fair he is. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish, and without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. Now, do you realize what two new words we've heard today that we need to mark? Because remember, we want to color code key words. So what we've done is I've marked the word sinned. And you want to mark the word sin, and the reason you want to mark sin is because it is very key to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's very key to this book. So he's talked about what sin looks like. He's talked about how sin behaves. He's talked about sin's disbelief or unbelief, but he hasn't mentioned the word yet, but now he does. So this is the way I mark sin. I simply color code it brown. I just color code it brown. So color code it brown. And then he mentions law for the first time. All right. Now, the law shows us the righteousness of God. And so what I do is I color law yellow, but I draw a diagram around law like the two tablets from the Ten Commandments. Because when we think of the law, we think of the Ten Commandments. I know people want to get rid of them in some countries, and they don't want to hear them, and they don't want them in courtrooms, and they don't want them in schools. But I want to tell you something. Give up. You cannot get rid of the law. The law is here to stay. Now, there's a way to live with that law, and we're going to see that later. So you want to mark this. For all who have sinned, color it brown, without the law or apart from the law, shall also perish without the law. Now, what is he saying? He's saying, I'm fair. I'm fair. And he says, I want you to know that if you didn't know the law, if you did not know the commandment that thou shalt not steal, or thou shalt not have any idols, or that thou shalt not commit adultery, or thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife or house or that, if you didn't know that law, I want you to know that I won't judge you by that because you didn't know it. But you will still perish. You will still perish. Now, when you perish, and perish means the ultimate judgment, the lake of fire. So he says, when you perish because you didn't know the law, then your punishment will not be as great as somebody's punishment who knew the law. So watch. He says, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. So I always tell people, when you listen, when I'm teaching and I'm opening the Word of God, and I never teach without opening the Word of God. So if you ever come to any place where I'm doing a conference, or if you ever come to any national convention that we would do at Precept Ministries, bring your Bible. But I warn them, you have just heard truth. Not that I am loaded with truth, but the Bible is loaded with truth. This is the good book we've curled up with. All right. And it is pure truth. And so when the Bible is explained, you become accountable to it. So, you know, really, really, you want to be very careful what you hear, because everything that you hear, you're going to answer to God for. But if you're hearing the Bible, whether you believe it or not, you really ought to listen, because you really need to be saved, because you're going to perish anyway. If you don't hear it, if you do hear it, you're going to perish if you don't bow the knee to Jesus Christ. So he goes on to say, for not the hearers of the law are just before God. They're not made right before God just because they hear the law. Now, he's in all probability talking to Jews, but he's also talking to anybody that has been exposed to the Ten Commandments. He's talking about anybody that has heard the law of God, even sitting in church. He's either talking to Jews flat out, directly to Jews, or to hypocrites who hear one thing and believe one thing, I mean, profess one thing and live a different way. So he says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Now, we meet this word just and justified here, and we're going to see it and develop it when we get to chapter 3 in depth. But just or justified means that you are right before God. It means that you have been declared right in God's eyes. And you know, really, really, my friend, that's all that matters. So he says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law. In other words, just knowing the Ten Commandments and knowing what the law says isn't going to get it, Jew or Gentile. It is not going to get it. You have to do the law. Now, the Jews are going to come back and say, ooh, I'm safe. I do the law. But wait, let's keep reading. He says, for when the Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves. Now, you're going to mark law three times in that verse, but you're not going to mark a law to themselves. Okay, because it's talking about a law, a principle to themselves. Otherwise, he's talking about the law of God. So what is he saying? He's saying if you have never heard the law of God and yet you know in your heart instinctively that it is wrong to steal, that it is wrong to take another man's wife, wrong to not honor your parents, and you just know that instinctively. The minute that you know that, then, my friend, the minute that you know that, then you become accountable to God for that instinct within, for that conscience within. So he goes on to say, in that they are a law to themselves, verse 15, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them. In other words, he's saying this, that when the work of the law is written in your heart, when you automatically just know that it's right, or that it's wrong, then you become a law to yourself, and you will be judged by that law. You will be judged by your conscience. Now, he has an interesting thing here. And remember that he talks about men knowing within that there is a God. When you know that there's a God, you know that there has to be a right and a wrong. You have that witness within yourself. And what he's showing is, listen, these laws that God wrote down are not really that strange. Just as a human being, we ought to understand what God says about the law. So then he goes on to say this. Now remember, is God fair? Is God just? Can he be trusted? It says, their conscience bearing witness and their thoughts alternately, I can't say it, can I? Accusing or else defending them on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. The judgment of God is going to be according to truth. The judgment of God is going to be according to deeds. The judgment of God is going to be according to the gospel, according to what you did with Jesus Christ. The judgment of God will be fair because it's according to truth, because it's according to deeds, and because it is according to the gospel. He's going to judge the secrets of your heart. And you know, that makes him fair. That makes him totally fair. Because that means that you can't play the hypocrite. That means you can't put on a mask and say, oh, I didn't mean to do that to that person. Oh, I'm sorry, they just took me the wrong way. Oh no, my friend. God is a just God. God is a fair God. He judges righteously. Remember that. Have you ever wanted to go someplace just to get away and you couldn't? Something was stopping you. It was the children, or it was the family, or it was finances, or it was just time. Well, we've got good news for you. We're going to have a women's conference, and we're going to webcast part of that women's conference. I'm so excited because I get to teach you, and our subject is help, Lord, help. I need peace. I need understanding. I need hope. So I want to invite you as an individual in your home or with a group of women or in your church to get together and to sign up for our webcast. I hear that it's almost as good as being there. That's October 21st and 22nd. You know, sometimes we sit in judgment of God and we say, you know, that's not right. That is not fair. And one of the things that you and I need to understand is that God judges us by His standards, not by ours. Remember that. God judges us by His standards, not by ours. And His standards are always right. Now, what's happening next in Romans chapter 2? Well, watch what he's going to do. This time, we know for sure that he is going to zero in on his chosen people. He's going to zero in on the Jew. Now, when I use the term Jew, I want you to know I am not using it in a derogatory way at all. Because if you know anything about the Bible, you have to know and understand that God's people, the Jewish people, are His covenant people. And He will never forsake them. He will never let them go. What He has promised them will surely come to pass. You say, but they aren't being what they ought to be. Yes, and you're sitting in judgment on them. And I want to ask you a question. Are you being what you ought to be? You see, we have to be so careful. We have to remember that God judges impartially. No partiality with God. But now, let's see what he says to the Jew. And if you're Jewish and you're listening, this is very, very important. Because so many times what happens is we think that because I am what I am, that I've got it made with God. The Muslims that have been acting as terrorists, the Muslims that have been blowing themselves up in terrorist attacks, think that they are right with God. And they're not right with God. They don't even understand who God is. The Jews who are keeping the law think that they are all right with God, and they think that they're all right with God because they've kept the law, because they're a Jew, because they've been circumcised. And so it's at this point that God turns through the Apostle Paul to address the Jews that are at the church at Rome. All right? Now, this is what he says. But if you bear the name Jew, so what do you want to do? You want to mark the word Jew again. You want to put a star of David there, a blue star. And by the way, I forgot to tell you this, and forgive me, but I hope that when you got to verse 16, that you underlined according to my gospel, because I wanted you to see the three according to's of the judgment of God. So you should have marked according to in verse 2, according to in verse 6, and according to in verse 16. Now, let's go to verse 17. But if you bear the name Jew and you rely upon the law, now the law are the commandments of God. It's the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. If you're relying on the Torah, Gentiles call it the Pentateuch for the first five books of the Bible. But he says, if you rely on the law, so mark that like we've marked law, and you boast in God and you know his will, and you approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law. In other words, you say, I'm a Jew. I'm keeping the law. I'm boasting in the things that are essential. I know the will of God because I know the word of God. He says, and you're confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind. You look at others, and because you are a Jew and you have the word of God and it belongs to you and you are God's chosen people, then you are a guide to the blind. He says, a light to those that are in darkness. And you look at the goyim, you look at the Gentiles, and you just say, they're just living in such darkness. He says, a corrector of the foolish. You look at those people and you say, what fools they are. A teacher of the immature. In other words, you're so mature and you've grown so much and you know so much and you keep the law to the tiniest little jot and tittle, to the tiniest little letter of the law. You keep you live by the Mishnah, you live by the Talmud, and in addition to the Torah, in addition to the Tanakh, in addition to the first five books of the Bible, in addition to what the Gentiles would call the Old Testament. And you have the Mishnah and you have the Talmud and you study it day and night and you seek to live by it. He says, so that you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of truth. He says, you therefore. Now, note how he's described them. And you know, this would be good to take a fine pen and mark a 1 and a 2 and a 3 and a 4. And you would see everything that he says about them. They bear the name Jew. They rely on the law. They boast in God. They know the will of God. They approve the things that are essential because they've been instructed out of the law. They're confident that they are a guide to the blind, that they are a light to those that are in darkness, that they are a corrector of those that are foolish, that they are a teacher of those that are immature. They have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of truth. He says, you therefore, who teach one another. You're sitting there. You're the teacher. And you're teaching one another. You're the rabbi. And you're teaching the students in your synagogue. You're the rabbi. He says, and you teach another. Do you teach yourself? Do you teach yourself? You know, this is a good word for any teacher. It's a good word for me because I know I've studied the Bible and I know a lot of the Bible. But if I'm teaching others, am I teaching myself? If others are coming under conviction by the word of God as I teach it, am I coming under conviction by the word of God, if I'm not living accordingly? So he says, you, he says, who teach others, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one should not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You know, when I read that, I cannot help but think that when I was in Steinmaske's in Jerusalem, there are lots of Steinmaske's, but I was right down on Jaffa Road, right down where they've had a lot of terrorist activity. And this was some time ago, but I was in Steinmaske's and I was buying something. I was schlepping my little cart. I had been to the store and I was schlepping my cart. And as a matter of fact, I left my cart and they were about to haul it away because you don't leave any package around unattended because they think it's a bomb. And I looked over, I went to the counter, they were saying, you know, is this anybody's cart? And I came and said, yes, it's mine. I am so sorry, I forgot, you know, and I'm standing there to pay for the book that I bought in Steinmaske's. And next to me is an Orthodox Jew with the curls, with the hat, all dressed, you know, just in his Orthodox attire. And he is buying a Playboy. He's buying a Playboy. I'm standing there. My eyes are falling out. And I'm thinking, God, he should not be buying that. Puts it in the bag, walks out. And I said to the clerk, I said, did you see him do that? Did you see him do that? And she said, it happens all the time. I was so frustrated with myself. I was so angry. I should have said, son, you know, when you're older, you can get away with things like this. But son, do you realize what you are doing? Do you know what the law says? The law says that you're not to commit adultery. And I want you to know that buying one of these magazines is an adulterous act because you are looking at these women for lustful purposes. You're in trouble with God. And this is what he's saying. He's saying you can't be the teacher and live contrary to what you're teaching. He says, you who abhor idols, do you rob temples? In other words, are you getting money or are you doing certain things to get money when you really shouldn't be doing that? You who boast in the law, through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? You know, the Gentiles that have turned their backs on God and turned their back on this inner witness dishonor God. And wrath is going to come on them. Do you think that because you're a Jew and you know the law and you have the law and you quote the law and you teach the law that you can get away with dishonoring God and not have the judgment come upon you? Now take it to another fold. Do you think that because you're religious, do you think because you're a Baptist minister or a Methodist minister or a Catholic priest or an Orthodox priest that you can preach these things and you can live another way and get away with it? Do you think that you can be a teacher on television, a teacher on radio, which I'm on both, and I can teach one thing and live another way and get away with it? Oh, no. There's a just God. There is a God who is always fair. He says, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. He says, you know what? When that Orthodox student, he looked like a yeshiva student. When he bought that Playboy, he blasphemed the name of God in the presence of this goy, in the presence of this Gentile. He blasphemed the name of God. And you know what? If you bear the name Christian and you act like this and you're into pornography and you're into these other things, you're into lying and you're into cheating and you're into stealing, you're blaspheming the name of God and a just and righteous and fair God who judges without impartiality will hold you accountable. He says, just as it is written, and he's quoting the Old Testament, the Tanakh, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. It's written in the Tanakh, not just in the New Testament. For he says, for indeed circumcision is of value if you practice the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. What does he mean by that? We need to know. Because there are many Jews that believe that if they are circumcised, that that is their ticket to heaven. And you know what? It's not your ticket to heaven. Not according to the Word of God. And we're going to see that. How do we bring today to a conclusion? We need to stop, curl up with a good book, read what I've said again, and know that God judges impartially. Remember that.
Thank you for watching Precepts for Life. This is just one of many programs offered through Precept Ministries International. These lessons are great to share with a friend, small study group, or even listen to in the car. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. Precept Ministries International is excited to offer tools that will help you discover truth for yourself. To order this program or an entire series, call Precept Ministries International at 1-800-763-1990 or visit preceptsforlife.com. Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990.